Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Turning Congregation, runs out the 12th Hour. So today is June the 10th, 2025, or it is the 16th day of Sivan, 2029. We will start our first service today with a song, and then with a prayer, and then we'll go on into our, track 12 of, Peace, Health, and Title of the World Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. And we're taking from Book 1 of the Shepherd God, P.T. Holler. We're on page 80. This is, we'll do a little review. This is map 9 shows the final results of the nations that were permanently Christianized and the nations that were permanently Mohammedanized. Okay, against the Holy Covenant is our title of this part. It says sin, the necessity of the compromising with the heathen, and in order to make an easy prey of them, the king of the north, therefore, has set his heart against the Holy Covenant. Daniel 11:28-30-32. That is, he dropped from the Christian's creed the Sabbath of the creation, Exodus 20:8-11, which the Yahweh blessed and hallowed as a memorial of his works for a perpetual covenant, Exodus 31:16-17. For the king of the north, having intelligence only with those who did forsake the Holy Covenant, clears 2 points. First, that all did not forsake the Sabbath. Second, that the small people with whom he became strong were not the faithful followers of the Yahshua. But the unfaithful ones, and such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by the flatteries. But the people that do know their Yahweh shall be strong and do exploit. Daniel 11:32. For this verse reveals the character of each class. First, of the unfaithful, and second, of the faithful. And to the destiny of the faithful we read, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fail or fall by the sword and by the flame, by the captivity, and by the spoil, many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with the flattery. Daniel 11:33-34. Now these verses, besides foreshadowing the martyrdom of the faithful followers of Yahshua, predict the Reformation with a little help, and foretell that his present fallen state is caused by the flatteries. Pollutes the sanctuary, takes away the day, and arms it shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of the strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Daniel 11:31. That these three links of the tree, the polluting of the sanctuary, the taking away of the daily, and the placing of the abomination, and the prophetic chain of the event. Oh, prophetic chain of the event. Okay, brings us several centuries into the antitypical apostolic era. Is conclusively confirmed by the Assyrians referring unto them as in the future from the time that he uttered the command. When you therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken of by the Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in the Judea flee into the mountain. Matthew 24:15-16. For a healthy sanctuary is already unclean and therefore cannot be polluted. Clearly then, the sanctuary of the strength, not the heathen, was polluted by the bringing into it a pagan priesthood and unconverted heathen. For the sanctuary is the Christian church for the during of the period in which the pollution took place. There was no sanctuary in the Jerusalem. Certainly the daily read chart number 3, the judgment and the harvest, 38 and 39. Disregards of a god and the desire of women, neither shall he regard the god of his father, not the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Thus shall he do in the most stronghold with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with the glory, and he shall cause him to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Daniel 11:37-39. No nation but the Christianized Rome fulfills this prophecy. For she is the only one that disregarded the God of her fathers, the pagan God, and acknowledged the true God, the God of the Christians. And although she professed to have wholeheartedly accepted the Christian's God, this scripture exposes the falsity of her profession. Neither shall he regard the desire of women, Daniel 11:37. It says, women's desire is a home. Genesis 3:16, a desire which the love placed in her heart, the Roman institution of the nunnery, therefore is not in Yahweh's order. For the fifth regime of the north defends the second regime of the south, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at the king of the north, Daniel 11:40, where the angel that dictated Daniel's writing explained that in the time of the end, these prophecies were to be revealed, and that at that time many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel 12:4. Modern inventions, especially in the realm of the travel and of the communication, are recognized as a fulfillment of the predicted increase of the knowledge. The present increase of the knowledge, therefore, shows that we are now living in the time of the end. Time of the end, and as the beginning of it declared in its inspiration in the 18th century, for the king of the south shall push at the king of the north, the time in which the king of the north shall have come against him, against the king of the south, like a whirlwind with the chariots and with the horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into their country and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the country, and the land of Egypt shall not escape, but he shall have power over the treasures of the gold and of the silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. Daniel 11:40-43. Passing beyond the prophetic declaration of the Mohammedan victories, and coming unto the time of the end in the 18th century, that would be 1900, we find that the Christianized king of the north, in his fifth regime, the Christian government, independent of the church, is at the outset to overrun the king of the south, the Mohammedan empire, and is finally to retake from him Egypt and Palestine and many other countries besides those which comprise the Mohammedan empire. Map 10 emphasizes that the Turkish empire in its greatness, and also gives the dates of the various provinces that fell. According unto the map, the decline of the empire commenced in 1699 at the time of the end of Daniel 12:4, until 1915, when England declared Turkish serenity at that. And established a protectorate. Egypt was nominally a Turkish dependency, but since 1883, following Arab Pasha's rebellion, Egypt had been practically ruled by the Great Britain with a consul general. The new student reference book. That's where that's found, written. Palestine is a glorious land for the long years, the home of the Hebrew race, was under the control of Rome in the time of Yahshua in the 7th century. It passed under the Muslim power, and from 1516 to 1919 was in the hands of the Turks and a part of the Turkish Empire. For Edom, Moab, and the chief children of the Ammon, those of the Transjordan, then came under the mandate of the Great Britain, see map 5, page 18. The word, however, says, they shall escape out of his hand, showing that though he now has them, he is to lose them. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be as a step. Perhaps they shall follow him before him, and before him. And the order for the fixing of the truth in our mind before the passing from the prophecy fulfilled unto the prophecy unfulfilled, it is expedient to attend the following review. That's our next caption subtitle. Review. After the dividing of the Alexander's dominion, Egypt and the Palestine were, as the previous was seen, ruled first by the Ptolemies, second by the pagan Rome, Daniel 11, 15, 16, third by the Mohammedans at the downfall of the Christianized Rome, Daniel 11, 22. And fourth, again by the Christians, specifically by the Great Britain, Daniel 11:41. These are the only historically and prophetically recorded processions involving the ancient lands of Egypt and Palestine. For the surrendering of these countries by one prophetic king to the other unmistakably identifies the king of the north and the king of the South from the time of the dividing of the Alexander's Empire until the present time, and leaves no room for the doubt or for the argument. Rome is the king of the North, entering a second time into the glorious land. Daniel 11:41 shows that though, as aforementioned, it once took the land from the Ptolemies, Daniel 11:16, if later in 633 A.D. lost it to the Turks, and in 1919, in the time of the end, wholly regained it. Here is simple proof that in the modern times, the Mohammedan rulers, that's your Muslims, are in prophecy called the King of the South, while the England's king, along with the disrupted family of the Christianized king, whom the prophecy says will not cleave one to another, Daniel 2:43, or call king of the north. In her pagan period, Rome is symbolized by the great image, two legs of the iron, and in her Christianized period by the feet and toes of the iron mixed with the clay. That the king of the north, then 11-7, and the little horn power, having the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, Daniel 7:25, are one and the same power, is again shown by the fact that time, times, and a half is the time given in both instances. See Daniel 12:7. The 12th chapter is a continuation of the 11th. It is now clearly seen that the passing of the Egypt and Palestine from the hands of the one people unto another is like giving the key which has unlocked the mystery of the Daniel 11 and the truth shining out with such resplendence makes exceedingly clear that the popular doctrines that Turkey is the king of the north and that England is the emerged king, kingdom of the Israel, and are calculated by the spirit of the era so as to cause Yahweh's people utterly to lose sight of the truth and to take their stand, they know not where. Okay, our next subtitle is Declares War, but not against the King of the South. So far, in this chain of the events, each link has been a prophecy fulfilled, but the verses which we are next to consider contains the links of the prophecy unfulfilled. Through the eye of the faith, therefore we are now to look into the future. But the tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him, therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. Daniel 11:44. For the king's final trouble is not to arise from the king of the south pushing at him, but from tidings out of the east and out of the north, showing that he is drawn into this last struggle for the supremacy, not by anyone's declaring war against him, but by his declaring war against many, because tidings out of the east and out of the north have troubled him. If the Germany's aggressive activities on the north of the Mediterranean and the Japanese on the east of it are the tidings which have led England into war against many, and there is no doubt about it, then this Second World War will lead to the fulfillment of the entire chapter under consideration. Number 14, his last act. This is our last subtitle. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end and none shall help him. Daniel 11:45. It is self-evident that planting the tabernacles of his palace cannot mean planting his capital. For the tabernacles, therefore, may denote a branch of his palace, and his choosing to plant them in the glorious holy mountain indicates that the place is intended to attach to his tabernacle the holiness of the Christian's God. investing the tabernacles of his palace with such sanctity can mean that it is to house the headquarters of the soon-coming ecclesiastical world government, which we have already considered. But one location, perhaps Mount Sinai, is between the sea, the Red Sea, and the Mediterranean. This choosing it instead of Jerusalem implies that it is because Palestine, as well as Edom, Moab, and Ammon, shall escape out of his hand. For the statement, "He shall come to his end, and none shall help," and none shall help him, shows that he has previously been helped by some other power, and that he will not continue long thereafter. It most likely means that his ecclesiasticism will be overthrown by the horns of the scarlet colored beast, Revelation 17:16. It now being apparent that the tabernacles of his palace are supposed to be to represent holiness, and that the woman riding the beast, Revelation 17:3, settles the world's social, economic, political, and religious problem, the truth is clear that the present Christian governments are to be reorganized and ruled by an ecclesiastical head, not by the Hitler. Our prayer, therefore, is that all make sure that their names be in the Michael's Book of Life, for those whose names are not there will be left to go down in the eternal ruin, as the parting reassurance that we are now living in the time of the end, and that time is about to pass into the eternity. We quote the angel's solemn words, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people." And there shall be a time of the trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even unto that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some unto everlasting life, and some to a shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel 12:1-2. Conclusion. Since the prophecies dealt with herein are linked together, many centuries of the history we have in the scope of this tract been able, but briefly, to treat of the history involved, giving a special attention unto the part that which the Yahweh is to guide the feet of everyone who is anxious to see it again, and which the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, is to guide the feet of everyone who is anxious to take up the cross and to follow him safely over the bottomless pit into which all other living are soon to fall. For the truth here brought to light, shining as clearly as it does, should convince and convert all of the honest who wish to escape the crossing doom. Therefore may all take it to heart and profit as a lifeline to keep the Yahshua's faithful followers from being swept away by the religion of either power, Yahweh has wrought the prophetic chain of the events herein brought to view. Those who expect to be led and to be saved by the word of the truth, also to be delivered from the time of the trouble by the Michael standing up, Daniel 12:1, which trouble the present distress of the nation is about to bring forth, should not hesitate now to take their stand on the side of the right and truth. For this cause, brother and sister, is the light now shining on your path. Unto those who take no heart to Yahweh's warning and who stand on his side, is made the promise, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and ever, Daniel 12:3. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand, Daniel 12:10. And now, having heard the conclusion of the whole matter, fear the Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now rise and shine, make the psalmist praise your own say, O Yahweh, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous work. O Yahweh, thou art my Yahweh, I will exalt thee, and I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Psalms 71:17, Isaiah 21:5. Okay, that brings the end of our study on this section.